For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Look who it is. Joe Ostrowski on the Wester Hotline. Joe, should I read all the big intro? Is it all still true? It's been a while. I don't even know if it's all accurate.
I know. It's going to change, I think, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yes.
Tomorrow. Wow. All right. Yes, yeah. Hi, Joe.
Big announcement. How you doing? How about Trubisky? He looked pretty good the other day.
Let's start there.
Good Lord, Joe.
Were we all expecting to start there?
Welcome to my world.
How did you survive that is a question I might have.
It was so funny. Many of us were watching it thinking, yep, just as I remember. It's the exact same stuff. Yeah.
I wonder, like, I watched him a few times with Pittsburgh last year, and when they signed him, my thought was, I don't think he can play. I don't know, like, what are we doing? Like, the Bills obviously would have watched him play for Pittsburgh. I get the attraction the first time around. He's, you know, set to the wind by Chicago. All right, let's buy in here, and buy low, let him reestablish himself. Great. I don't know why they wanted to do it again. Like, I have no faith in him at all.
None. Totally with you there. Not laughing about the injury or anything.
But, no.
But, yeah.
You know, there's something about a Chicago sports fan, a Buffalo sports fan, maybe a Philadelphia or a Boston sports fan, where no matter how good you have it, it's still about, like, just sort of what happened in the past, you know,
right.
That cathartic kind of feeling of a player that you knew was going to be a bust or something like this.
Yes.
I mean, Chicago is not there yet. Like, it's not official or anything, but it's so hot. And I find in fantasy drafts, like, I'm trying to remember that people would probably have a bias against the Bears because never in their lifetimes have the Bears been, like, an exciting, passing, good team, right? All of that. And so I think all the Bears guys are values because there might be a subconscious element in play where you just can't imagine. Same uniforms. You know, there was a time, Joe, with the Bills that I thought the Bills should probably just, like, change their brand. Change the name, change the colors, change everything, because it's just been too many years of, you know, mediocrity.
Right.
I mean, the Bears, iconic franchise, but very exciting times there is all I'm really saying.
It's my instinct to just say, okay, ease up. It is preseason. It is against backups. Yeah, that was a great touchdown the other day, but he started the game with three and outs on offense. Yeah, that's my instinct, but it's just so different. And I hesitate because we've had positive conversations in the past about, say, Justin Fields in our previous visits, because it looked like there was that very high ceiling, and we know the direction that one went. But, yeah, that's what's different this time around. There's actually a confidence. It's not just the meatball fan that, okay, the new shiny toy. This is going to be the quarterback that's going to take us to the promised land. We finally found our franchise guy for the next decade or so. Like, no, there's a lot of confidence. But part of that is how they've gone about this, how Ryan Poles has, the general manager, just building up around the quarterback, not make the trade for Cutler, go fix everything and lift everybody up. I mean, teams have finally realized, no, you can't just do that. You need to bring weapons in. You need to give them an offensive line, you know, some sort of a rushing attack, however you want to use it. But, yeah, with the of course, DJ Moore, and then they extend him this offseason. You bring in Keenan Allen. The guy falls to you, Roma Dunze. He's going to have a lot of weapons. I don't know if it all comes together year one. Probably not. I think they're going to be around 500, but if it does work, there is that ceiling where It's now a tough division, but the expectation is over the next couple of years they're set up to succeed.
Well, certainly in his favor, in their favor, is that they were not, you know, usually the team picking first overall is, you know, 3-14 or 2-15 or something like that, like how I managed to handle the 17 games there both times instead of the 16. Oh. But they were, you know, they weren't good, but they weren't terrible, right? They weren't the dregs of the earth, right? They, you know, they got that pick in a trade. So yep. Even there, like, you're not starting, say, where Carolina was starting last year with Bryce Young.
No, you're definitely not. And the reason Eberflus still has his job is because of the way the defense played. Because they, for internal reasons, they still haven't put it out there publicly. They had to fire the defensive coordinator. Eberflus takes over, and then they trade for Sweat. And that just changed everything. Some of it is some turnover luck. Very tough to repeat that. But there's still this confidence that they do probably have a top 10 defense. They lock up Jalen Johnson. They have talent at every level there, too. So, yeah, no, that's also the difference. You have this generational talent, the guy that goes number one overall, but it's not your typical team that has the number one overall pick.
Yeah, you know, I got to admit to not having seen the whole board, so to speak, when they made that trade for Sweat last year. Because I saw, like, yeah. What are you doing? You're not going anywhere. What are you doing with it? But, like, I can kind of get it now.
Yes, I do want to say, okay, hold up. He's not at that Parsons level, but or Garrett, but you don't need him to be.
Right.
Right? With some of the, again, the talent that they're building. It's... Poles has done a really nice job as a general manager. Like, you're always going to have your misses, whether it's a pick or it's a trade with the Steelers, so you give them the first pick in the second round for a god-awful receiver for a year. But, yeah, people are flying high, and yeah, it doesn't mean you got to win the division, but I think they're going to battle for a playoff spot in the NFC.
That's probably all they need, you know, to make this year feel good and for Williams to look to show those flashes. You know, I'm talking about how the fantasy markets may be underestimating the Bears. I kind of think they are. What about the betting markets? Like, when I've looked at Bears to make the playoffs, Joe, it's minus money. It's not. Yep. It's close to 50-50, but they're getting some respect.
Oh, yeah, they're getting respect. Now, this does happen every offseason because it's a legal betting market in Illinois, and they're a super popular team. Their fan base is going to back them. Probably a similar story to you guys as well. But you do see that movement, but it's legitimate. It's happening because nationally, outside of the area, people are believing in them. When they opened the win total, it was 8.5, and it was, you know, even money, basically, minus 110 on both sides. A number of sports books have moved it up a full win to 9.5. It was juiced for a while, and now it's gone up a full win. I don't know if it's a little bit of Hard Knocks effect or exactly what. But, yeah, no. They're still expected to be third in the division. That is a very high win total for a team that is supposed to be third best in a division.
Miami's is likewise, isn't it, in the AFC East?
Same.
With the Bills and the Jets. That's a tight – not too different. I mean, that's a tight pack there for division title.
Yeah, you know, FanDuel has the Jets at plus 155 right now to win the East, the Bills 175, the Dolphins plus 240.
Is that the norm, Joe, that the Jets are the favorite now?
It's split. It started off with the Bills across the board as the favorite, which kind of made sense to me. Okay, you got the best quarterback in the division. I think that's going to be the case almost all the time. That when you have, you know, cut above as far as quarterback play, that you're going to end up being the favorite. But as the offseason has played out, other teams have improved. Here we are again with the injuries, too. I mentioned Milano in the update there. So it's started to shift a little bit. Certainly a lot of belief. Here we are again in the Jets. And, yeah, I'd say about half the sports books have moved them to be the favorite.
One thing that I've noticed, and we've talked about some this summer with respect to the NFL futures odds, the Bills, like you've had, I mean, what are they, 10.5, you know, pretty normal, but minus 150 on the under. Mm-hmm. And you bring up a lot and have already today sort of the fan base getting involved, you know, it's a feel-good bet, and over is the feel-good bet. No, nobody's betting unders that way. You're betting on your team. So a lot of those, if that's not why, a lot of teams you see minus, you know, whatever, 130 to the over. It seems unusual that a team would be pronounced to the under like the Bills are. That's interesting. A lot of our conversations have been over these years, Super Bowl favorite, trust it. You know, just like, can the markets catch up week to week to what the Bills are doing? This year is different.
Very much so. And I would say if I had to pick a side, you know, outside of just bettors, right, I would say they're down on the Bills, that they would be on that short list of teams that people are down on. I would also include the Patriots. Yeah, it's rock bottom as far as win total, but a very popular bet has been them to be the worst record, and nobody else is in that 4.5 level like the New England Patriots. So it's a fascinating division. Jets have been the hot team. I'd say the Dolphins were the hot team a year ago. Not that people aren't believing in them, but there is some question. You have change at defensive coordinator, which could end up being a good thing, and you lose Wilkins. But people are always looking to the next thing. Like, the Lions were so hot for 2 years, and now people aren't talking about the Lions as much, even though they probably should be talking about them more now than ever before.
The Bills are the they're tied with Houston and the Bengals as the sixth favorite for the Super Bowl, by the way. Right? Chiefs,
in
Niners.
In the league.
Chiefs, Niners, Ravens, Lions, Eagles all ahead of them, and then plus 1,500, Houston, Cincinnati, Buffalo.
How would you rank those three, Joe?
Which three again?
Houston, Cincinnati, Bills.
Okay. So, personally...
All the same price.
Yeah. I would... It's hard because I'm trying to find... It's scary, but I'm trying to find ways to fade Cincinnati. I'm sorry, Houston. Just looking elsewhere in the division as everybody else seemed to improve in the schedule that they faced last year compared to the schedule they faced this year, but they understand that. They also improved. I would go Cincinnati 1. This is part opinion baked in. I'd go Cincinnati 1, Houston 2, Buffalo 3.
Do you feel like is a word for Houston overhyped?
I think so. There's this expectation that Stroud is just going to take the next step. But could they meet those expectations? Certainly. Maybe you're talking to the wrong person because I like the ceiling with the Colts. I think nobody's talking about the Jaguars, and they improved their roster a whole bunch. It's just how much do you trust in Trevor Lawrence. And I'm not saying they're going to compete for the division, but the changes that the Titans made could actually be a good thing. Maybe they end up being a 7-win team when immediately people are thinking Vrabel, no, that's the wrong move. He's one of the best coaches out there. Well, it's just going to be completely different, and they're going to focus in on that offensive line, the biggest issue that they've had, and they're going to sling it. And traditionally, they've just been a run-heavy team, so it's just going to look completely different. And maybe they end up having some success there when people are not expecting it, since they have some weapons there. But it's just not going to be as easy as it was for Houston a year ago, as much talent as they have.
Yeah, I've been sort of slow playing them all year here. Their point differential last year was only plus 34. You go back and look at their schedule, there's some stanky losses. And their wins, like, they got a win over the Bengals with a healthy Burrow. It was like the week after they clobbered San Francisco. So the Bengals, that's their signature win, aside from the dismantling of the Browns in the playoffs. The rest of it is just like, you know, it's just not that impressive last year what they did. So I see the talent. The quarterback looks great. The receiving core looks great. There's a lot to like there, even on defense too. But I don't know. I'm just not ready to assume they're just going to roll out there and win 12 games.
What are you guys expecting from Diggs?
Man, I feel like he landed perfectly. So this is a tough one too, because he doesn't have to be the player he was here. He doesn't have to be the alpha, so to speak, in which case you could see modest numbers and he's doing fine. He's not going to get 150 targets again or something like that, probably. Mm-hmm. He has been playing ahead of Dell in two receiver sets so far in the preseason, so I think that's in his favor. But then we also were talking a little bit about whether he was in decline by the end of last season. I guess I'm going back and forth on him. I don't know what his lines are.
Over 900 and a half yards minus 112. That's the number. And it's the same. Under is minus 112.
I would go under.
Receiving yards.
I would go under that. Joe, this is where we started. Our first conversation was you asking me to guess Diggs' is his prop number. Here
was
we are.
It really?
Yep. You were listening. I was talking about Diggs. You tested me. I'm like, I came pretty close. So I think, you know, that was a good start. Joe Ostrowski on the West Hur Hotline. What's interesting to you this year in the, say, the MVP market, thinking about awards? Allen might be better. He's done really well already, but not won it. Might be better positioned to win it if he has the same kind of year that he's had because they took Diggs away from him.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, where else does the credit go? It all goes to Josh Allen. Let's say the early betting markets were right and they end up winning that division. They have one of the top seeds in the AFC. Yeah, they're right there. Second favorite right now is Josh Allen for the MVP. 8-9, 9-1 range. Of course, we know the favorite. Mahomes, Burrow is third, tied with C.J. Stroud. That's how far we've come after 1 year. C.J. Stroud is priced as the same as Burrow. You know what you're looking for. You're looking for a team that's going to have a lot of success, going to be a one or two seed in either conference. And I'm always looking for a little bit of value. And I'm a little concerned that maybe this guy won't get as much credit as he deserves. But, or I don't know about deserves, but maybe because of the weapons around him. But it's a team that I'm high on, so naturally I've got to believe in the quarterback. And this is a quarterback that's, at times in the middle of the season, been the favorite. I think the Eagles are going to have a terrific season. They're going to be the one or two in the NFC. And Jalen Hurts is going to be on that short list once again. At the moment, he's 14-1, same price as Jordan Love. It's funny. They're not thinking Lamar for a third MVP because they've got him all the way down at 18-1.
What, that might be where he was last year, too.
Right. Like, you know, I think shorter. Maybe 15? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way the playoffs went, no way he'll win.
No, he, yeah. No.
All right, you got two.
He will get punished for the playoff letdown, even if it's not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be separate, but like he could have the same year he had last year. Everyone could have the same year they had last year, and I don't think he'd win it.
Yep, I'd agree with that. If I'm moving down the board looking for a player that, okay, maybe do it with your legs, and that's the way that the MVP voting has gone, with Lamar winning it a couple of times. If it all comes together, I trust the coach and play caller, Anthony Richardson.
Let's go.
35-1.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. You said already you like the Colts a little bit.
Yeah.
I would love that. I don't like betting favorites, but Mahomes is hard to resist, I think, because of what they've done to that team. And can the league continue to get away with, you know, limiting him as bad as they're off? He was, what, 29th in the league last year in yards per attempt? Something like that. Like, Burrow was low, too, and he was hurt. Right. So if you expect a bigger year from Mahomes, and the same logic with Jackson, like, Mahomes has already won multiple, but maybe they think he needs to separate voters. I mean, they're human beings. They might think about that stuff. I would. So he it's, what is it, 5-1 or something like that? Like, I still might want to have a piece of that.
Yep, 5-1 as the favorite, and then I mentioned the names that come right after him. It's Jordan Love is getting that respect immediately, and then when it drops a little bit, like, there's still the Purdy doubters, even though maybe they're the most talented roster in the NFL. Like, he's a mid-range guy along with Dak and Goff, and Aaron Rodgers, 25-1, the same exact price as Tua. I guess that makes sense because they're expected to be so close record-wise.
What do you think of Bills Week 1 home to Arizona -6? The number has crept lower since it opened, and, you know, just sort of on the surface, maybe it seems like a low number for what has been a dominant Bills team at home against the Cardinals. There's some Cardinals buzz, though.
There is. There's the Bills. If people don't take Cincinnati against New England, the Bills are going to be very popular in Survivor. The way I look at it, and I do understand the belief in the Cardinals a little bit, as it's, they should improve getting a full season out of Kyler Murray. We'll see how that ends up going. But yeah, you add Marvin Harrison to that situation. 6 seems like a lot, guys.
Hmm.
6 is a number there. Maybe they just end up smashing them to start the season. But I am a little concerned with all the changeover. And look, a lot of the guys that, not with your team anymore, they weren't on the field a ton much last year anyways due to the injuries. But Six is now you're getting to that number where I do have some concern where maybe a garbage touchdown at the very end that means nothing as far as a win or a loss, but ends up covering the spread.
First garbage time touchdown reference of the I'm going to say season in finger quotes.
It's teaser time at six.
Of the season.
Teaser
just
time.
Win. Just win. That's all you need. I think people will be confident in that.
Are you back in the survivor waters? Bulldog said that's the only survivor pool he's ever done.
Oh, yeah, I will be. I just didn't want to send it out yet and deal with that every day. But it's happening. It's happening. Season starts 2 weeks from today?
Yeah. Oh, I'll be waiting for that email. I'm off next week. I'll have lots of time to ponder.
Don't take the chalk. Don't take the Bengals.
But who do you take? You taking the Bills?
Who else is in that range? There are two or three other games that are like five that I have seen. I don't remember the schedule.
Not taking the Niners against the Jets on Monday.
Bulldog will.
Oh, I think
that's his game.
I think that's going to be his game.
I
might do that. Yeah,
he hates the Jets.
I hate the Jets. I think
he's so off the Jets.
I think Aaron Rodgers' leg is going to explode.
Really?
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh man.
I guess I get it.
Okay,
he's 40, but
yeah,
Bulldog is very negative toward the Jets.
And they're the Jets.
I know.
I know what the roster looks like. I know the quarterback's reputation. They're the Jets. I trust them to Jets it up.
Wow. The Bears and the Jets. This is the year where all your priors get upended.
Don't even. Yeah. I probably wouldn't take the Bears against the Titans just because it's a rookie quarterback, debut, all the expectations at home. Going against the rookie quarterbacks, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world. Because Jaden Daniels is going to have to go on the road down to Tampa. Not the worst environment, but that might be a little difficult in Washington. Doesn't have that much of an offensive line for me to believe in right now. Lions? Don't want to use the Lions against the Rams, but...
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, boy, right, defense is going to take a step back without Aaron Donald, for sure. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough first week. Maybe you go against Bo Nix, having to go to Seattle to start his career.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a look.
Real Man picks the Ravens Thursday night at Kansas City, +3, straight up. Let's go. Come on.
Oh, I'll be on the Ravens for sure.
Yep.
At the very least, against the spread.
Joe, it's so nice to talk to you again. Good luck in whatever developments happen in the next 24 hours. And we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Joe Ostrowski back with us. Joe's been a staple of our Thursday afternoon broadcast here during the NFL season for a couple of years now. And we'll be excited to have him back on a regular basis.
This, as much as we are in here every day talking about, well, the season creeping a day closer, a day closer, a day closer. Today, well, it is the closest it's been because it's a day after yesterday. But talking to Joe, I just feel like there's a game tomorrow. Like, that counts, you know, like just hearing his voice talking about it all.
It's been the weather this week for me, too.
Yeah, that's right. It just felt like October all week until
totally,
today, really. Yeah.
Totally football weather. Today a little bit less so. 803-0550 for your calls. We've always been asking just kind of your vibes. We had a few callers, or at least a couple yesterday, more optimistic toward the Bills this year. Bulldog, very anti-Jets. Are you also anti-Jets? That's the question we want to know. We want to know your answer to that question. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lines are open. 803-0550. This is WGR.
My hope is to get the starters out there early in the game, get them some exposure, and the importance of it to me is how valuable the night before prep is. Waking up in the morning, we have a 1 o'clock kick. We got a lot of those this year. So just the body readiness, you know, the plan behind this camp was to practice early so that we can have that readiness.
I don't doubt it that the Carolina Panthers have a pile of 1 o'clock games. That's Dave Canales, their new head coach. Canales was the quarterback's coach in Seattle 2 years ago. Got a lot of credit for Geno Smith's pretty shocking rise from just Nowheresville to being actually good. Last year, then, he was named Canales, the offensive coordinator in Tampa. And the same kind of thing happened with Baker Mayfield. So Carolina was hot for him. He becomes their next head coach. The starters to play on Saturday against the Bills. Bryce Young, of course, number one overall pick in 2023. Deontay Johnson is there now. Adam Thielen. Yesterday you were talking, we were talking about the Bills and target distribution like we always do. Like even Adam Thielen had 100 catches, maybe even last year for Carolina. I mean, like if we were talking about Shakir and we had a clip of someone predicting he would lead the team.
Field Yates.
And I'm like, okay, but I bet if he does, it's kind of a lower number. So I looked up Carolina and Thielen, mostly early on in the season, but he had a big year for a guy that was kind of forgotten. Also, I'd be a starter on their depth chart anyway, the seventh wide receiver taken in this year's draft, Xavier Leggett.
I know. That's a Bills trade.
All the time we're like, uh-oh, Xavier Worthy. How about, uh-oh, Xavier Leggett? All the Xaviers were players the Bills didn't need.
You can have them. We'll help you get them.
That's right.
What can we do to help you corner the market on Xaviers? Because we are not in the Xavier business.
We don't want it.
Yeah.
There's also a starting safety there, Xavier Woods, but I don't know if the Bills ever had a chance to sign him and refused.
I think the Bills are Xavierless. There's no Xaviers on there.
Jadeveon Clowney is in Carolina.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that.
Yep. Jonathan Brooks, who was, I think, their second-round pick, running back, is not ready yet.
Canales sounds a little like McDermott at the beginning. Or even, I just remember him making a point about, really, I think it was the blue and red scrimmage, but also preseason. Like the guys get in the routine so they know where to go when they get here on a game day and all that kind of stuff. Canales is talking about, you want to brush your teeth, you know where to go brush your teeth. I think remember McDermott even saying that specifically one time. So Canales sounds very similar there, talking about just like get in the rhythm of the day. It's not so much about how we go play. It's just, just be ready for it. 1 o'clock and just the routine, all that kind of stuff.
You know, you say all that, it worries me for tonight because of this picnic. Normally, my routine would include some cramming for these big drafts now that we're 2 weeks away from the season. Tonight, you've heard of it. I mean, the Deep End Invitational tonight. Wow. Some of the biggest, many of these guys, big names in fantasy, they've been guests on our show here. You know them.
On this humble little show?
On our show, they've come. Scott Barrett has come on. Jared Smola, Mike Leone, I'm in there tonight. I don't feel like I'm ready. This is the hardest draft I'll ever do. This draft every year is the hardest draft of the year. Harder than the bare knuckle.
Really?
Yeah. For me,
wow.
It is.
All right.
It's just
because of the competition?
Everybody's so good.
Yeah.
You don't get away with anything in this.
Yeah.
Like, what the very best players can do is pick by pick with a 60-second clock, recalibrate, all right, well, what does this mean for who's going to be available later? That can be a certain player. That can be a certain position. And just have to be very fluid. And that's something I, try to get better at. I do okay. Yeah. But this is the hardest room. Every year, this draft is the hardest room I'll be in. We're going to live stream it at Deep End FF1.
Fluidity is not my strong suit either. I don't feel like I'm extremely fluid. No. I'm working on it. I mean, I still got some good years ahead. So I'm looking to improve on my fluidity.
Just in general?
Yeah, just in general. Okay. Yeah, okay. Like I yeah.
Be water?
Yeah. I'm often a plan guy.
Mm-hmm.
This, then this, then this. Yeah.
Causes maybe undue stress.
Yes. Oh.
Which you recognize.
Absolutely causes undue stress. Yes.
I love It's not the same thing as being fluid in this context, but I love to be spontaneous. Like, I don't need a plan. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as this almost never happens now because of work and kids mm-hmm. and things, but it's like, let's go do this right now.
Yeah.
I love being able to do that.
I do too, but like you're saying, I mean, and we're not tied down because of kids' sports or anything, but it's just with my wife's schedule and stuff, like it's just hard to, it's hard. We do generally have to put stuff out there on the calendar. Like, okay, we're going to do this, mm-hmm. okay, because it's just a grind. Otherwise, there's oftentimes it's just way easier to just, well, do nothing, which, you know, I'd rather do something.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Something over nothing.
Yes, generally.
This draft tonight is not one where I would want there to be a last place punishment. Because, you know, last place. Plus, it's a tournament. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to take some chances. And you're trying to beat guys in four different leagues. So, you know, you second and last are the same. It would not be one where you'd want to be told that if you finish last, you would, say, have to go to a Bison's game in a diaper right. and a clown wig.
Or, like, sit outside a Bills game with
a sign.
Coffee cup with pencils in it, selling pencils because you finished last in your fantasy league.
A sign that says, I finished last. You're seeing a lot of that now. A lot yeah. of these are they're coming on my feed anyway. It's just these punishments. I did see somebody in a clown wig and a sign about how bad they are at fantasy football, sitting in the crowd at a major, maybe an Astros game or something.
Right.
Talking to a woman, and maybe part of the punishment is you have to talk to people.
Right.
You can't just sit in the last row of Roger Center.
Right, alone.
And
right.
just do nothing. You yep. have to engage.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess this is the time of the year where if you had been holding off on paying off the punishment, like you got to get it done now because the new season's coming. So
time's up.
If you lost your league and you were supposed to do something dopey like that, you better get it done. Otherwise, what happens then? You're thrown out of the league? Someone take your spot, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're out. You can't not pay the punishment.
Right, right.
The Waffle House one has to be the most famous ever.
Right. And that was every item on the menu?
The Waffle House one was you have to go to the Waffle House for 24 hours straight. Every waffle you eat, you cut an hour off.
Oh, right. That was it. Right. So it wasn't like you had to eat everything. It just,
no.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You got to leave an hour earlier for every waffle you consumed. And so whoever it was that I'm thinking of for the Waffle House punishment, I mean, he was thrown up in the bushes. He was eating, yeah, I got to get out of here.
Gorging
four, five, six.
Yeah.
And then sick in the back. So.
That's tough.
More ways than one, perhaps.
Probably hard to keep that pace up once you've gotten sick. Although, I mean, it does clear room out.
That does sound terrible.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And I've seen, like, other fast food places, examples of these, too. And I know there are leagues where, I don't want to pick one fast food place, but you're talking about the whole menu, and each item on the menu might have a clock next to it.
Oh, boy.
Where you eat, you know, the double cheeseburger, that's half an hour, the fries are 10 minutes, whatever. Just sort of how you can eat the milkshakes, how you can eat to cut the time off of your 24-hour prison sentence at a fast food restaurant.
It's so tough.
Do not play fantasy football. Just don't do it. Don't play.
Yeah.
If that's out there, I am in no leagues that have a punishment. Which, you know, you could come at me with this about this if you want. I'm in one where you the loser, or maybe it's two or three losers, pay for the site. You pay extra.
Okay.
So that, like, the use of the website every mm-hmm. year comes from them.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Like, it's sort of a fee for finishing last.
Yeah.
You can't have one, though, if it's a tournament, because you're not trying to finish second. You're trying to win it.
Yeah.
Which means you'll more often finish at the bottom.
Not that this has been challenging at all. I would never be able to agree to join a league that has, like, a fast food. I don't eat it. I just don't. So, like, to have that be my point of re-entry with, like, a burger place, would be brutal. Like, I'm sure it wouldn't kill me, but I think it would be really hard. I mean, I just do not do that for many, many years. It's just not my thing anymore.
Yeah.
Oof, that would be tough. Just thinking about that. It's making my... Because I did just eat a huge plate of barbecue that was left over from the picnic.
Last thing on this for now. Yes, you did. I want to thank my friend Mike. He helped build a steak league. So now I'm in a steak league, which is an ode or a ripoff, an ode to RotoWire.
It's a steak like S-T-A-K-E or steak like the beef?
The beef. S-T-E-A-K.
All right.
Steak league. Yeah. 12 players. There's no money yet. If you finish in the middle third, fifth through eighth, next year when we all go out together and maybe draft the following year at the steak place, five through eight, pay for their own. Nine through 12, pay for their own. And
the top
one through four.
Four, yeah.
And that will get interesting. I can't wait to next year talk about this.
See, that I could do.
And it's the way that RotoWire used to talk about it, like absolutely no limits. The only thing you can't do is take food to go, buy food to go. You have leftovers, fine. But you can't buy an extra ribeye to take home for your kids or something like that. Right. That's off limits.
Yeah.
So you eat it there.
As it should be, yeah.
Yeah, but like this is a different one too because you're not trying to win. You're trying to finish in the top third.
Right, right.
And so there'd be different strategy in that. And that I can't wait to see the bill. As long as I'm not in the bottom, I'll say this. I mean,
right.
12 guys out with a third of them absolutely, completely unconcerned with how much it costs.
Yeah, that could get pretty aggressive.
I mean, what is that number for you at a good steakhouse if you didn't care at all what it cost? We've had a couple lucky ones where we go out like through the company or different places, and it's like that. Yeah. I'm still sort of, it's still kind of in my head that I shouldn't abuse this, but, you know, if I've won this league, I might be ready to abuse it. How much would you spend? Could you spend $500 like no problem?
I think so. Sure. Sure. Like what's the top of the line appetizer? Like, you know, shrimp cocktail? No, like something even bigger than that.
Both.
Right? Like, sure. But like, you know, you can easily, easily. Like, well, wait, on myself, $500?
Just you.
Ooh.
Shrimp cocktail.
I mean, wine, you know, you could really get loose with wine because you could, you know, buy a $200 bottle of wine and like, there you go, right? That's easy.
Let's say 100, but you're going to drink the whole thing.
Okay.
100 on wine, maybe a cocktail with it.
Sure, a cocktail when we get there. Yeah, like an old-fashioned. That's probably a nice steakhouse for $20. Yeah, okay.
Shrimp cocktail and a salad or stuff like those mushrooms or something.
Do they have crab cakes here?
No.
Oh,
they probably will have crab legs.
That's not
you can buy
though,
with
probably.
Surf and Turf.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to do that right now.
Here we go.
So,
yep, here we go.
Shrimp cocktail and just one other appetizer to get you started. With
maybe,
the wine and
maybe
the cocktail.
A nice French onion soup, maybe. Is that available?
Sure, okay. 150 so far. You can get to 100 on the steak?
Sure.
With the crab legs, 50 more?
Easily, yeah.
All right, we're at 3. I'm not going to do too much, but I'm not getting dessert.
I was thinking with my, you know, with my significant other or a friend, 500. Piece of cake, but myself, I think that would be tough.
I think 3 is the
about
the most I could do.
Yeah.
I hope to be able to try. I mean, next year.
Yeah, I hope you do too.
See how this draft goes. This is Sunday's draft now, the Steak League draft. So many drafts. I know it's hard to keep up.
Steak League.
Steak League, baby. I'm sure some people you know will be in it. I'll show you the list.
What's the steak in the Steak League? Steak.
That's it.
Sorry, who's on first?
There's no other money. That's it. It's just about the dinner. And you're going to want to go. You kind of have to go.
Yeah.
You have to go.
That's not something you want to skip.
You can't. No. If you lost, you have to go. Yeah. That's the one obligation. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, back after this timeout, 803-0550 to give us a call here on WGR. Contest time at 716-221-4947, 221-4WGR. Caller 5 wins a pair of grandstand tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series Sunday, September 15th at Watkins Glen International. The Go Bowling at the Glen brings the drivers of the NASCAR Cup Series together to battle it out around the historic New York road course. Tickets are on sale at theglen.com. And, by the way, there is no Bills game that Sunday.
Ooh, there is not. That's
Thursday right. night in Miami, and then neither is one the following Sunday. It's Monday night in week three. I may have won tickets to that week three game today here at work.
Cool. May have. You're not sure yet?
I did, actually.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Good. Good for you.
I did win tickets to the Jacksonville game. Two.
Nice. That's a night game, too, right? Yeah. Like you
night game.
Said, right? Yeah. Good.
I think I'm available.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like that's how that works now. We don't do the post game for night games. So, good deal. Yeah, I'm very happy about that, the way that schedule worked out. I mean, I don't love the Thursday stuff in general, but obviously we live with it. The Borderland Festival is that weekend. And they, I mean, I've gotten to know them pretty well over the years here. I mean, they're on pins and needles every year with the schedule. Like the woman who organizes it, I'm going to see her tonight because I'm participating in this Battle of the Bands as a judge for them tonight at Town Ballroom. And she'll be texting me in the week, like, when's the schedule coming out? What do you think? She's like, I don't know anything. I mean, what do I think? I think I don't know anything. That's what I think.
The festival.
But yeah, the festival. It matters a lot to them if the Bills are playing, if they're at home, you know, whatever. And this is like a dream for them. I mean, they've gotten through it. I mean, they've you know, had TVs at the venue and everything for people who want to watch the football game. But
which is probably a lot.
Yeah, but people. It's a much better set up for them if they don't have to deal with a Bills game at all. So Thursday is perfect. The festival runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so they're in the clear. So I'm happy for them about that. And me too, because my wife and I, my wife makes jewelry. We're going to be out there. She's going to have a stand in the stables at Knox Farm the whole weekend, and I'm really excited about that. So if the Bills were playing on a Sunday, that would have been a lot tougher for me.
Another thing you can do the weekend of September 15th. It's tight here on the clock, but I was wondering if you saw much about Joey Votto. We had a conversation about him the other day, how he wasn't hitting, and he yesterday announced his retirement in Buffalo, I think, or was
yeah,
was
no, it was he was he in was the parking here, right? lot behind the ballpark where he shot a video saying he was retiring. Yes,
I mean, of course, a lot of love online and just the Hall of Famer stuff that we talked about last week. I was a little bit not sure of my footing, but
I think you're good.
It's definitely I think it's good.
I think you're good. Yeah, you made a good case to me when we talked about it, and then like you know, of course, with him announcing his retirement, you're getting like the full. You know, you said everything that I'm seeing, but you see it all in one place, like on a, you know, whatever, on a graphic on Twitter. Like, yeah, that's a Hall of Fame player. Yeah, that's it. You know, the All-Stars and the MVP and all of it. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a great career.
He expressed remorse at not being able to get in a game with the Blue Jays. He was there very briefly in spring training, got hurt. Now he's been with the Bisons, and he's from Toronto. Never got to play in a regular season game with the Blue Jays. And his quote was, "I'm just not good anymore."
Yeah, I saw that.
That's just so Votto, like just blunt and, you know, honest. Always liked him for that.
I did not know that the only at bat he had as a Blue Jay, he got hurt so early in spring training. He had one plate appearance, saw one pitch, hit it out of the ballpark, and then I read hurt his ankle in the dugout after. And, like, that was the end of it.
Wow.
So, I mean, it wasn't a, you know, it was a spring training game, but he was with the Blue Jays in the Blue Jay uniform. One pitch, home run, hurts his ankle, and that was the end of that.
This is why you're so down on the Jets, I think. You know, similar age.
Yeah, sure.
Just one step can be the wrong one.
Yep-er.
803-0550. The Jets, you know, maybe they're the thing you'd be the most worried about with the Bills season, or maybe it's something internal. Let us know. Lines are open for your calls after, well, now, but we'll get to them after sports here on WGR.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.